Part 2. Meditations and Parables. This section begins the part of this book considered canonized scripture for followers of the Triple Path. The first four chapters are meditations mostly written in the second person, following the style of Marcus Aurelius's Meditations. They adapt the words of many of the world's great religious and philosophical thinkers, arranged by subject matter. The fifth chapter contains parables. References at the end of each chapter in the written edition list the sources that inspired each statement's ideas and words, sometimes with significant changes from the original. The following are the main works relied on. Marcus Aurelius, Meditations, circa 170 AD. Seneca, Moral Letters to Lucilius, circa 65 AD. The Bible, circa 750 BC to 120 AD. Aristotle, Nicomachean Ethics, circa 350 BC. The Delphic Maxims, circa 600 BC. Epictetus, Enchiridion and the Golden Sayings of Epictetus, circa 125 AD. The final charge on page 740 was inspired by Enchiridion 51. Jesus, Gospel of Thomas, circa 100 AD. John Rogers, The Nature and Necessity of Repentance, published in 1728. Jordan B. Peterson, Assorted Talks and Writings, including Maps of Meaning, The Architecture of Belief, published in 1999, and 12 Rules for Life, published in 2018. Joseph Smith, The Book of Mormon, published in 1830. Joseph Smith, Doctrine and Covenants, published in 1835. Buddha, Dhammapada, circa 250 BC. Chuang Tzu, circa 320 BC. Tao Te Ching, circa 250 BC. Meditations and Parables. Chapter 1, Foundations. Section 1. The Triple Path. Verse 1. Follow God in the Triple Path. Seek wisdom, practice virtue, and labor with hope. Nothing is more important than these. Verse 2. The Triple Path molds and constructs the soul. It orders your life, guides your conduct, and shows what you should do and what you should leave undone. It shows you the course to follow when you waver amid uncertainties. Verse 3. If you would be strong enough to bear suffering, able to stand tall and unashamed, and most important, free, then boldly and courageously seek wisdom, practice virtue, and labor with hope. There is no other way to this end. Verse 4. If you would have all essential things under your control, put yourself under the control of God and wisdom, virtue, and hope. Verse 5. How great is the help we receive from the Triple Path in everything, everywhere. It not only succors us in the greatest matters, but also descends to the smallest. Verse 6. Understanding wisdom, virtue, and hope is like looking at three parallel lines stretching to infinity. In the distance, the lines converge into one point. The Triple Path is the single path. Wisdom, virtue, and hope all join together. Verse 7. When you understand the Triple Path, you follow it for its own sake, not for external reward or benefit. Verse 8. Better than wealth or power is taking your first step on the Triple Path. Verse 9. Following the Triple Path, you will start to see that you are limited in an infinite number of ways, but that the different manners in which you might seek wisdom, practice virtue, and labor with hope are still limitless. Verse 10. From the Triple Path, you will see the world in a new light, as if everything is new again. Verse 11. The most helpful remedies for your soul are those not interrupted. Thus, never stop seeking wisdom, practicing virtue, and laboring with hope. Verse 12. Once on the Triple Path, press forward until the end with steadiness, having a perfect brightness of hope, continuing to seek wisdom, practice virtue, labor with hope, and trust in God. Verse 13. Walk your journey through life on the Triple Path always with your eyes open and your speech true, facing and balancing equally the chaos of the unknown on your left and the tyranny of the known on your right. Verse 14. Chaos is the capacity of the infinite world to disrupt your finite considerations. Order is always susceptible to such disruption. We are each called, you are called, to contend with this chaos. And while contending, never succumb to the nihilism of those whom chaos has defeated, nor to the tyranny of those who have grown too terrified of order's defeat. Verse 15. Wake up and follow the triple path. The day seems short when you sleep through it. Life seems meaningless when you are not seeking wisdom, practicing virtue, and laboring with hope. Verse 16. Now is the time to wake up, for the day is at hand, and an eternal night is coming upon you. Why would you sleep through the daylight of your life? Cast off your works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Walk in the daylight with wisdom, virtue, and hope. Walk not in the shadows, in revelry and drunkenness, in licentiousness and debauchery, in discord and jealousy. Verse 17. Let your resolve to live the triple path and your practice of it be like a fortified city built on a mountain, strong and not hidden. Verse 18. Wisdom, virtue, and hope are free to you if you seek them. These three will save you if you have them to bring forth from within yourself. They will destroy you if you do not receive them within you to bring forth. Verse 19. Grazing animals do not worry about a change of pasture. Fish do not worry about a change of stream. They accept the minor shift so long as the all-important constant remains. Let your constants be wisdom, virtue, and hope. Verse 20. It is hard to concentrate on the best things if you spend your time on what is less important. Never let your practice of the triple path be merely a distraction or afterthought. So doing, you leave the path anyway, losing the wisdom, virtue, and hope you could have found. Verse 21. Become an experienced traveler on the triple path. Then, even when you are tempted by foolishness, you still will seek wisdom. When you feel like doing evil, you still will practice virtue. And in the most desperate of times, you still will labor with hope. Verse 22. To heal your soul, you must first know what is making it sick. Wisdom, virtue, and hope will transform you into someone who sees more of your own faults, things of which you used to be ignorant. And recognizing them, you will start by the grace of God to conquer them and reform yourself. Verse 23. Be patient and tireless in seeking to fill your soul with wisdom and your desires and actions with virtue and hopeful labor, even if they only happen little by little. A bucket can be filled drop by drop, but not if there are no drops. Many small good acts can still fill a lifetime with wisdom, virtue, and hope. Do not think lightly of foolishness, evil, and lazy despair, flippantly excusing your mistakes and follies, even if they are small and only impede your practice of the triple path little by little. A bucket can also be emptied drop by drop. Many small bad acts can still empty a life, leaving foolishness, evil, and lazy despair instead. Verse 24. Even on top of a garbage heap, a flower can grow, full of sweet perfume and delight. Your wisdom, virtue, and hope can also grow, no matter your circumstance. Verse 25. There are many who follow the triple path, but call it something else or call it nothing at all. To the degree any others seek wisdom, practice virtue, and labor with hope, they follow the triple path partway. Seek them out and show them its fullness. Verse 26. How can you recognize when you are following the triple path? By the fruits of your acts. The triple path brings good fruits. Do not despair if you do not see them right away. They will come. Do not be a fool who either loves the vine and hates the fruit, or who loves the fruit and hates the vine. Such inconsistency only leads to sorrow, for you cannot have the fruit without its vine, nor the vine without its fruit. Some bad fruit may appear to be sweet at first, but they show their true nature sooner or later. You will never harvest grapes from thorn bushes. A thorn bush can never change the fruit it produces, but you can change where you seek fruits. Verse 27. Why would you be surprised to find an orange tree producing oranges? If you already know the tree, then you know what fruit to expect. Verse 28. When wisdom, virtue, and hope rule in a family, more happiness and success will be found. When a community practices them, its condition improves. When a country's leaders and representatives follow them, it will have more peace and prosperity. But do not confuse cause for effect, and do not look for the wrong fruits. The triple path's fruits are principally spiritual, not material. Because of the randomness of life and the limits of perception, individuals, communities, and countries may temporarily appear to enjoy good fruits, especially material prosperity, even when they practice foolishness, evil, and lazy. Despair. Thus, never take good fortune as a sign of your wisdom, virtue, or hope. Instead, humbly try to ensure you ever more faithfully follow the triple path. Do not be blind to your own failings. Never interpret success, especially material success, as a sign of your wisdom, virtue, or righteous labors. Verse 29. As leaves cannot flourish by their own efforts, but need a branch to which they may cling and from which they may draw sap, so your soul withers on its own and must be grafted upon a religion to be sustained by its teachings, precepts, community, and rites. Graft yourself onto that which offers the most sustenance, the triple path, with its roots in wisdom, virtue, and hope. Verse 30. God and wisdom, virtue, and hope will not, cannot, adapt themselves to your desires. Rather, you must adapt yourself to their demands. Verse 31. Praise the good. Verse 32. Walk not in evil paths of darkness, but come into the light of the triple path. For the fruit of the triple path is all that is good and right and true. Have nothing to do with vain works of darkness. Instead, expose them. The light makes visible all things upon which it shines. Verse 33. Persevere until you have made these principles your own, no matter what befalls you in life, as the blazing fire makes heat and light out of what is thrown into it. Verse 34. Your earthly journey on the triple path ends with your death, just as a fire's light ends when its last embers are extinguished. The triple path's principles, though, can never die so long as there is someone who thinks on them and lives them. Spread them, therefore, and help fan them into many flames of wisdom, virtue, and hope, burning bright in the hearts of your posterity and fellow man. Verse 35. Stop vacillating off and on the path. Move ever more directly forward toward seeking more wisdom, practicing more virtue, and laboring more with hope. Verse 36. Your practice of the triple path is a journey, but sometimes it is also a fight. And when it is, great is the combat, divine the task. You are fighting for kingship of your soul, for liberty, for light, for meaning. Remember God. Call upon Him to aid you, like a comrade that stands beside you in the fight. Verse 37. Strive not to seem happy to others, but instead to live well with wisdom, virtue, and hope, in possession of yourself, so that at the end of your life, come when it may, you may cry out with courage and with greatness of soul, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have stayed on the path. Section 2. This book. Verse 1. Of what use are the abstract principles you claim to believe, if your thoughts, desires, impulses, and actions remain unaltered? The study of the triple path is not the study of words, but the study of being and meaning, and the development of your soul. Verse 2. How easily these words, as all words, become a prison of paper and ink, or sound, the fruits of a crooked, broken, scattered, and imperfect language from which only God may deliver us. Verse 3. Just knowing the words of this book will not make you great, only practicing them will. Then these words will burn in your soul like a furnace. Verse 4. Better than 1,000 senseless words is one word of wisdom that brings stillness and peace when you understand it, or one word of virtue that touches your soul with meaning when you practice it, or one word of hope that moves you to work for a better future when you believe it. Verse 5. Read this book, think on it, and seek greater understanding. However, be not just a reader of these words, but a doer of them also. This book is not the triple path. The triple path is a way of life, not words on a page. Verse 6. Do not confuse the sun with the finger pointing at it. Verse 7. Even if you could recite every word of this book from memory, it would mean nothing if you did not follow them. You would be like an investor who carefully tracks someone else's money, while neglecting his own finances. It does not matter if you learn any of these words if, having forsaken foolishness, evil, and lazy despair, you always seek greater wisdom, practice more virtue, and ever labor with hope. Verse 8. When a youth was giving himself airs in the theater and saying, I am wise, for I have conversed with many wise men, Epictetus replied, I too have conversed with many rich men, yet I am not rich. Verse 9. Internalize these principles and follow them until seeking wisdom, practicing virtue, and laboring with hope become an inseparable part of your character. Just as a pure diamond is always clear and solid no matter where it is, so too should wisdom, virtue, and hope always be a part of your nature, no matter your circumstance. Verse 10. If you read these words and act on them, then you are like a wise man who builds his house on a foundation of rock. When rain falls, floods come, and winds blow, that house will not fall down. If you do not follow these words, then you are like a foolish man who builds his house on a foundation of sand. When rain falls, floods come, and winds blow, that house will fall down. Verse 11. Following the triple path is a call to action, not to just considering words. Make these words become your words, then live in harmony with them, even in thought, so that your inner life and your doings are reconciled. Verse 12. A journey does not begin when you see your route on a map. It starts when you take your first step. This book is just a map marking the way of the triple path. It will direct you onto the triple path and orient you, but you can only follow it by living its principles in your thoughts and actions. Verse 13. A map is useful because it simplifies reality. A map, therefore, cannot perfectly and completely represent the real world. It could only do this by being as big as the thing it was representing. So doing, it would lose most of its utility. Verse 14. You will never learn to play a musical instrument just by reading about how to do it. You must also practice it as much as you can. You will never learn to follow the triple path just by reading about it. You must also follow it, practicing it as much as you can. Verse 15. Remember the parables of the testing sower and the three treasure seekers. Section 3. Improvement and imperfection. Verse 1. Husbandmen care for land, mechanics for machines, physicians and trainers for the body, the wise and virtuous for their own souls. Thus care for your soul, your mind, your actions, your desires, your thoughts, your heart, and your connection to God. Verse 2. It is good to find a cure for your ailments, but even better to have avoided the malady in the first place. Verse 3. Content not yourself that you are generally wise and virtuous, for if one link is faulty, the whole chain may fail. Verse 4. Improving your life means taking on much responsibility and effort and care, and living less in arrogance, deceit, and resentment, breaking the bonds of the slavery of opinion. Verse 5. While working to improve yourself, it can be helpful to look to the good examples of others to emulate. But when evaluating your progress, compare yourself to where you were yesterday, not to where someone else is today. Verse 6. It is when things are at their worst that you most often need improvement. In such situations, cling to whatever improvement you can manage. On a sinking ship, making it on a cramped lifeboat is cause for celebration. Verse 7. How vain and foolish is it to plan only for future repentance and reformation? You have need to do so now. If you are waiting for some future time to begin, how much are you missing out on and will continue to lose? Do not deceive yourself. The same rationalizations you make now and new ones will tempt you ever more as you persist in your foolish, lazy evil. What makes you think you will be any better placed in the future to repent and reform after you have further corrupted your soul than you are right now? And what if you die tomorrow, still wallowing in your foolishness, evil, and lazy despair? If you discovered you had been given deadly poison, would you delay in seeking out and taking the antidote? Then seek out the antidote to that which is poisoning your soul. Verse 8. When you are doing something you know, however dimly, to be wrong, start to stop doing it, now, today. Do not waste time questioning how you know it is wrong or why it is wrong. Such questioning will confuse without enlightening and stop you from acting. You can know something is wrong without knowing why. Verse 9. Remember the parable of the two young men. Verse 10. If you have given way to some vice or sin, not only is there the evil involved directly therein, you have also strengthened the habit and added fuel to the fire. Every time you are overcome by a temptation, it is not just a single defeat, but you have also strengthened your dissolute habits. Habits and faculties are necessarily affected by the corresponding acts. Those that were not there before spring up, the rest gain in strength and extent. If you feel some evil desire and check it, then you return to yourself. Whereas if you give in, the next time it is excited, the flame of desire leaps up more quickly than before. By frequent repetition, your mind in the long run becomes calloused and the evil becomes a habit or a faculty. To then conquer it, you must seek out a complete cure, for there will remain a legacy of traces and blisters on your soul. And unless these are effectually erased, subsequent blows on the same spot will produce no longer mere blisters but sores. For example, if you do not wish to be prone to anger, do not feed the habit, give it nothing which may tend its increase. At first, keep quiet and count the days when you were not angry. I used to be angry every day. Then every other day, next every 2, next every 3 days, and if you succeed in passing 30 days, rejoice in thanksgiving to God. Verse 11. Usually it is not enough to only change what you are doing, you must also change how you think. Verse 12. How do you get better? Study, meditate, and watch yourself to gain greater understanding. Use this understanding to find things you need to improve. Set attainable, measurable, and discrete goals. Record your progress and reward yourself in achieving them. Follow up to evaluate your progress and then set new goals. Make this an ever-repeating cycle of improvement and progression. Verse 13. When something goes wrong, or when you need to improve or change, seek to understand what happened to you and why, where you are and where you are going, what is keeping you from moving forward, and how to expose yourself voluntarily and gradually to what it is you are afraid of doing to move forward. Verse 14. Even if you do not always manage to keep up the same pace, if you ever travel the same path, you can still make much progress. Verse 15. Improvement in individuals and communities rarely happens through abrupt shifts, but rather through slow, gradual change. Verse 16. The more radical a necessary change is, the more painful it will be. How much better then it is to make the needed adjustments through small corrections along the way. Verse 17. When progress stalls, consider whether it is because not that you have lacked opportunity, but that you have been too arrogant to take full advantage of what is already in front of you. Verse 18. Too often, you only learn how to improve when forced, through pain and anxiety. Those lessons are frequently difficult. When you avoid necessary lessons, you just make the lesson you must learn even harder when it comes again in the future. Seek to learn without needing to be forced. Thus, be humble. Humility does not mean debasing yourself. It means understanding that you do not know enough to avoid the potential misery and tragedy and malevolence waiting for you in life, and thus taking every chance you have to learn to improve. Verse 19. Do not be discouraged when you make mistakes. Every person does. When you falter, return again to the triple path. Be satisfied if most of what you do is consistent with the path. Be satisfied if you are improving and more faithfully following it. If you are not improving, then you must change something in your life. Verse 20. Watch yourself to recognize when you are starting to wander off the path. You are more likely to wander off of the path when you are walking at its edge. If you wander off of the path, the probability you will wander still further increases. But as you progress forward along the center of the path, the probability you will progress further still also increases. Verse 21. When you wander off of the path and lose yourself, you must first figure out how you erred, not only so you can find your way back onto the path, but also so you can figure out how to avoid the same mistake again. Verse 22. You are weak and imperfect. Seek to overcome your weaknesses and turn them into strengths. Recognize your mistakes. You should feel regret and shame for them, but do not let these feelings consume or paralyze you. Instead, use them to lead yourself to improvement. Change your mind and character to overcome whatever weakness led you to your mistakes. Verse 23. The consequence of evil acts is often suffering, either to yourself or others. Sometimes the suffering will humble you enough to repent. How much better, though, would it have been to avoid the suffering to begin with? Be humble. Seek wisdom, practice virtue, and labor with hope, and you will avoid much unnecessary suffering. Verse 24. Follow these three steps to repent of your sins and mistakes. First, stop doing whatever caused the need to repent. Second, make amends as much as possible for any harm you caused. Third, work to change and channel your desires away from evil and toward wisdom, virtue, and hope. Your actions shape your desires, and your desires shape your actions. As you work to change both, each will reinforce the improvements you seek to make in the other. Verse 25. When you feel self-conscious about your inadequacies, work on eliminating the inadequacies, not the self-consciousness. Verse 26. Seek to end each day a better person than when you started. Verse 27. You cannot see everything. You naturally focus your attention on what you seek and on the obstacles to it, ignoring most everything else. When you are in crisis, it may be because of what you have been ignoring, because you were seeking the wrong things. If life is not going well, it may be that your knowledge, not life, is lacking. If you cling too tightly to the wrong desires, you may be blinding yourself to what you really need. Sacrifice your prior, wrong goals. Change what you seek, and you will change what you see. Seeking after wisdom, virtue, and hope, you will start to perceive what was previously hidden, great things calling to you. Verse 28. It is impossible for you to relive your life so that you would have followed the triple path at all times until now. However, you may still profit from your past. Use your past mistakes to avoid similar ones in the future, and also to understand how much better it is to follow the triple path. You must choose how to live the rest of your life. Show more wisdom, practice more virtue, and labor more with hope than you have in the past. Live the triple path. Verse 29. In the past, have you fallen so much into disorder that it is no longer easy for you to get the reputation of a righteous follower of the triple path? Throw away the thought, "How shall I seem to others?" Instead, be content if you live the rest of your life as God wills, fulfilling your purpose. Observe then what He wills, and let nothing else distract you. Verse 30. Resolve now, if never before, to approve yourself to yourself. Resolve to show yourself fair in God's sight. Long to be pure with your own pure self and God. Verse 31. Wisdom will not fall upon you by chance. You must seek it. Virtue will not fill your character by luck. You must practice it. You will not fulfill your life's work through inaction. You must labor to complete it. Verse 32. Strive for greatness of soul. Strive to seek all wisdom, to practice all virtues, to labor ceaselessly with hope. Section 4. Verse 1. If you walk in the day, you do not stumble, because you see by the light of this world. But if you walk in the night, you stumble, because there is no light to guide you. Verse 2. Receiving wisdom is like turning on a light in a dark room. It lets you better perceive everything around you. The brighter light of greater wisdom brings truer understanding. Verse 3. Just as the brightness of the sun dims all lesser lights in comparison, so virtue, by its own greatness, can shatter and overwhelm evil, pain, wrongs, and annoyances. Wherever its radiance reaches, all lights that shine without its help appear extinguished. Verse 4. Laboring with hope is not naively seeing light where there is none, but fighting the darkness with what you reflect from God's divine light. Verse 5. Remember the parable of the light. Section 5. Verse 1. The purpose of your life is not to find pleasure or satisfaction or comfort or peace or even joy. Your purpose is to live with meaning. Verse 2. Many think they are seeking happiness when they are only chasing after the gratification of some particular, fleeting passion. Strive instead to live with meaning by gratifying instead your soul's yearning to seek wisdom, practice virtue, and labor with hope. Verse 3. There is no guarantee that seeking to live with meaning will bring lasting satisfaction or happiness or peace, but pursuing meaning above all else is more likely to bring these other three than seeking any of them out as ends in themselves. Verse 4. Do not ask, "What is the meaning of life?" making demands on existence. Instead, recognize what existence demands of you, that your life have meaning. You answer this ultimate demand through the life you live. You determine whether to live with meaning. No matter your circumstances, you choose your reaction to them. To the demand of existence, the only proper response is to take responsibility. Verse 5. Figure out what you should do and become to justify your life. Then go do and become. Verse 6. He who has a why can bear almost any how. Verse 7. When you are aiming at something profound enough, then it becomes worth passing through much anguish to participate in bringing it about. Verse 8. Meaning does not come from having rights and freedom, but from having responsibilities. Verse 9. Live with meaning, so that you might keep at bay the corrupting influences of foolishness, evil, and lazy despair. Verse 10. Do not sacrifice meaning for immature expedience. Expedience is the cowardly avoidance of responsibility. It blindly seeks to satisfy the urges of the moment, narrowly and selfishly seeking short-term gain. Expedience is dumping the consequences of your mistakes onto someone else or onto your future self. It casts hell into the future, into your future. Verse 11. Stop uttering falsehoods. Live according to the dictates of virtue and your conscience. Courageously stay faithful and true to the highest of ideals, even in the face of the ultimate threat. This is the path to profound meaning. Verse 12. Living with meaning is better than having what you think you want or need. Do you know what you want? Do you know what you really need? Verse 13. You cannot force meaning. It comes upon you of its own accord when you are doing the right things, when you are following God and seeking wisdom, practicing virtue and laboring with hope while striving to achieve worthy goals. Verse 14. The good life comes not from wealth or station or intellectual capacity. It comes from having a life with an honest, virtuous purpose, founded on a true and just estimate of yourself and everything else, with frequent self-examination and a steady obedience to that which you know to be right, without troubling yourself about what others may think or say, or whether they do or do not do that which you say and do. Section 6. God. Verse 1. Prostrate before God and none else. Verse 2. It is impossible to fully define God with words. It is your right and your responsibility to come to a personal understanding of Him for yourself. Verse 3. You do not come to know God through reason or analysis, you come to know God by experiencing Him. Verse 4. Your mere desire to be like God is not enough. You must recognize, seek, and strive. First, recognize that there is a God, and that His providence directs the universe. Also recognize that it is impossible to hide from Him not only your acts, but even your thoughts and intentions. Second, seek to understand what the nature of God is. And third, whatever you discover that nature to be, then you must strive with all your might to emulate that nature. If the divine is faithful, you also must be faithful. If valiant and courageous, you too must be valiant and courageous. If full of love and nurture, you also must be loving and nurturing. If full of warmth and light, then so should you be also. Thus, as an imitator of God, must you follow Him in every deed and word. Esteem what He wills better than what you will. Cleave to Him as His minister and attendant, having the same movements, the same desires, in a word, the same will as He. Verse 5. You can tire yourself in a labyrinth of search by talking or reading of God. If you would know Him indeed, it must be from the impressions you receive of Him. The more open your heart is to Him, the deeper and livelier can those impressions come upon you. Verse 6. Behold the incredible and grand mystery of existence, feel the awe of contemplating the universe, and recognize that behind it all lies an ineffable power and mystery beyond your reckoning or imagination, an unseen order beyond your perceptions of the material world. The supreme good lies in harmoniously adjusting yourself to that unseen order. Verse 7. Does God desire praise and glory from us who are created in His image, yet fall far short of His sublime perfection? Or does He desire that in our actions and thoughts and in the yearnings of our soul, that we become ever more like unto Him? Verse 8. God has introduced mankind to be a spectator of Himself and of His works, and not a spectator only, but also an interpreter of them. Wherefore, it is a shame for you to begin and to leave off where the brutes do. Rather begin and leave off where nature leaves off in you, at contemplation and understanding. And then move on to a manner of life that is in harmony with God and nature. Verse 9. Follow and respect God and falter not. Even when your will is weak and wicked, still follow on. Verse 10. When your soul is weary and heavy laden, go to God for rest, righteousness, and salvation. Verse 11. In good times, it becomes all too easy to forget God and distance yourself from Him, while troubles and adversities often cause you to bow your soul to God and religion. How much more could you become if you were always seeking after God and holiness? Thus, always draw close to God and follow Him, seeking wisdom, practicing virtue, and laboring with hope, even in times of prosperity and ease. Verse 12. Rather than merely saying you believe in God, act as if He exists. Verse 13. Pass through life as one who is entrusted to God with your whole soul, all that you have and are, making yourself neither the slave nor the tyrant of any man. Verse 14. There is one whom you must please, to whom you must be subject, whom you must obey, God. He has entrusted you with yourself. He has made your will subject to yourself alone and given you rules for the right use thereof. Listen carefully so that you rightly hear His commands and always follow them. Verse 15. Public worship is very commendable, if well performed and with sincerity. You owe this to God and good example. But also remember that God is not tied to time or place. Thus, wherever you are, still turn your heart and desires to be with Him. Verse 16. Your mind and heart are before God always. He knows when you allow to dwell in them arrogance, spite, deceit, cruelty, resentment, malevolence, love of destruction and hatred of God, man and being. When your heart and mind are full of such evil, then are you ripe for destruction. Verse 17. Whatever you treat as your highest value becomes your God. There are no real atheists, only those who fail to recognize the God they serve. Thus, they distance themselves from God and seek after false gods and idols. Let your God always be the one and true God. Verse 18. Denying God destroys the nobility of humankind. For by our bodies we are kin to the beasts. It is in spirit that we have kinship to God. Thus, denying your kinship to God and distancing your spirit from Him makes you into more of a base and ignoble creature. And when we partake of the divine light of God and draw close to Him, we gather a force and faith which human nature in itself could not obtain. Therefore, just as atheism is in all respects hateful, so in this, that it deprives human nature of the means to exalt itself above human frailty. And as it is in particular persons, so is it in nations. So seek not only for yourself but also your nation to have piety toward God, and to seek wisdom, practice virtue, and labor with hope. Verse 19. You are a weak, watery being swimming in the midst of unrealities, therefore turn your mind to the things that are everlasting and real, God, love and truth, and wisdom, virtue, and hope. Verse 20. Lift up your soul to God, put your trust in Him and the triple path, and you will not be ashamed. Verse 21. Trust in God with all your heart, and lean not unto your own limited understanding. Do not see yourself as wise, but fear God, and depart from evil. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and let Him make your path straight, that your soul be purified and filled with His divine light. Verse 22. Faith in God is not believing in that which you know to be false. It is not the childish belief in magic. It is not reveling in ignorance and willful blindness. Verse 23. God exists. He is above all things. You will only ever have an imperfect knowledge of His nature. To attain even this imperfect knowledge, you must reverence the spark of God's divinity that is within you, and keep it pure. Verse 24. Seek God where He may be found. Approach near to Him, and then call on Him. Verse 25. Live with God. No one can be good without His help, thus seek Him and invite Him to be near you, with you, and within you. Try to feel His influence dwelling in you, marking your good and bad deeds. Or maybe rather, it is your good and bad deeds that mark your soul, drawing it closer to or farther from God. So draw yourself closer to Him. Whatever you would do or say that makes you feel dark, ashamed, or unholy, that causes you to lose your self-respect, or that is contrary to justice or truth, do not do or say. Whatever you would do or say that is true and just, that makes you feel confident, holy, and filled more with light, and that conforms to the standards of wisdom, virtue, and hope, then that should you do and say. Verse 26. Every instrument, tool, and vessel is made to serve the purpose for which it was made, even when its maker is not present. Reverence the power of your maker, and act according to his will, even when you do not feel him present, and thus always seek to act and think in conformity to wisdom, virtue, and hope. Verse 27. It has been said that man and woman were created in the image of God. Would that not mean that you also were so created? And if you can feel the spark of his divinity within you, might that mean you have within yourself a part or fragment of God, or at least that you reflect a likeness of his image? Are you then ignorant of your noble birth? Why do you not consider the source from which you have sprung? Why do you not remember when you are eating, who you are that eat and whom you feed? When you are in the company of the opposite sex, when you are conversing, when you are exercising, when you are disputing, is it the divine you make speak, the divine you feed, the divine you exercise? Are you bearing God about with you, poor wretch, and know nothing of it? If so, then it is within yourself that you carry him and profane him by impure thoughts and unclean actions. In the presence of even an image of God, you would not dare to act as you do. And with God himself present within you, seeing and hearing everything, are you not ashamed to think and act thus, insensible of your own nature, and at enmity with God? Verse 28. Reverence that which is best and highest in the universe, that which makes use of all things and directs them. In like manner, nurture and tend that which is best and highest in yourself, the purest and most elevated parts of your soul that lead you to seek wisdom, practice virtue, and labor with hope. For is not this of the same likeness as that? Verse 29. God is worshipped by those who truly know him, and those who want to know him. Would you worship God? Then imitate him. If God is goodness and wisdom, virtue and hope, then you will approach him and understand him, and thus purify and refine your soul, by being a good man or woman, by seeking wisdom, practicing virtue, and laboring with hope. Thus, tend those small sparks within your soul that are of the same kind as the pure, perfectly bright light of God that burns eternally. Give those sparks spiritual fuel with proper thoughts, desires, and actions. And with God's help and through his grace, you might then fan them into blazing fires of divine wisdom, virtue, and hope. Verse 30. An essential part of piety towards God is to have the right ideas about him, that he exists and encompasses pure wisdom, virtue, and hope. Resolve yourself to obey him and yield to him, and always willingly follow him. For thus you will never find fault with him, nor accuse him of neglecting you. And always remember that in whatever situation God has placed you, it is your duty to labor to improve it. Verse 31. Do not just obey God, but train yourself to agree with him. Obey him not because you must, but because your soul wills it. Verse 32. When God gives, and also when he takes back, the wise and virtuous response will be, "Give what thou wilt, take back what thou wilt." And you will say this neither proudly nor resentfully, but obediently, and well pleased with him. Verse 33. When you are invited to a banquet, you take what is set before you. Were you to call upon your host to set something else upon the table, you would be deemed absurd. Yet do you not do the same thing, asking God for that which he will not give? And this, even though he has given you so many things. Verse 34. You are a weakling and a degenerate if you struggle and malign the order of the universe, and would rather reform God than reform yourself. Winter brings on cold weather, and we must shiver. Summer returns with its heat, and we must sweat. Misfortune and evil bring their pain, and we must suffer. In bad circumstances, always strive to overcome. But that which you cannot reform, it is best to endure, and to attend uncomplainingly upon the God under whose notice everything progresses. When you cannot change the order of things, what you can do is acquire a stout heart worthy of the virtuous, thus courageously enduring chance and placing yourself in harmony with God and the triple path. Verse 35. The farther you draw yourself away from God, the more tyrannical, authoritarian, and judgmental he will seem to you. Verse 36. If you are in the image of God, does that not mean you have the faculties to imitate, in your own small way, His wisdom, His virtue, and His hope? And with these divine faculties, should you not be willing to say, "Send now, O God, any trial that Thou wilt, lo, I have means and powers given me by Thee to acquit myself with honor through whatever comes to pass." And yet there you sit, trembling for fear certain things should come to pass, and moaning and groaning and lamenting over what does come to pass. Then you even presume to upbraid God. What foolishness! God has not only given you the faculties to bear what comes to pass, He has placed them wholly at your own disposition. And though possessing all these things free and all your own, why do you not use them? Why do you not perceive what it is you have received, or whence it comes? Why do you sit moaning and groaning, either blind to the giver, making no acknowledgement to your benefactor, or otherwise basely giving yourself over to complaints and accusations against Him? Cease your upbraiding and accusation. It is time to stand up and exercise your powers, showing courage and greatness of heart. Verse 37. At peace are those who take refuge in God. Verse 38. Commend your soul to God. In Him let your hope and trust rest. Let Him be your rock and fortress of shelter, His faithfulness and truth your defense. Follow Him with clean hands and a pure heart, not lifted up unto vanity, nor working deception upon your neighbors. Let Him guide and lead you, and you shall dwell under His illumination. Stand firm in your resolve, not shaken even in the face of terror by night and war by day, pestilence and sickness, death and plague. Verse 39. Be wary of anyone you hear of who has said, "I have seen God," or "I speak for God," or "Thus saith the Lord." Of such, many have been misquoted, or proved to be liars, crazy, or self-deluded. However, also be careful that you do not let justified skepticism carry you away from faith in God or to rejecting what you might learn from others' sacred experiences. Verse 40. To know God, do not obsess yourself with the tales of others or with labored reason and analysis. Go to the source and experience God for yourself, for that is how you will come to know Him. Verse 41. If you discovered a seashell hundreds of miles inland, you might put it to your ear, listen, and think you knew what the ocean is like. Or, if someone came to you and told you what it is like to be at the coast, you might think you then understood the sea. But a wise man wanting to know whether the seashell or the tales of others were right would go to the seashore, get in a boat, and go out on the water himself. Once he had listened and looked and touched and smelled and felt and experienced, he would have no need for the weak imitations from a seashell or someone else's explanations to understand. But even the most precious of memories fade. To retain his knowledge, he would need to go back again and again to the ocean to refresh his knowledge and experience it anew. Verse 42. Good and true religion speaks to man about drawing closer to God. Should religions which are of man claim to speak for God? Verse 43. How could anyone presume to command another on God's behalf? What kind of person would dare imply that God lacks the power to communicate directly with whomever He will? Verse 44. Do not be so prideful as to assume that God is on your side. Rather, concern yourself about whether you are on His side. Verse 45. Take care that you do not confuse your own thoughts and feelings with God's. Seek to learn to recognize the difference between that which comes from your own heart, mind, and soul, and that which comes from God's voice speaking to you, or His divine influence shining upon you. Verse 46. Follow the triple path and rise and mold yourself to kinship with God. Your money will not place you on a level with Him, for God has no bank account, no investments, and no titles to land. Your degrees and earthly honors will not do this either, for God has no degrees, no medals, no trophies. Your reputation does nothing either, for God continues on the same whether He is known by everyone or by no one. Verse 47. The path of God is the path of truth and wisdom, virtue and hope.